For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Now, look, this is a little bit unhinged, but bear with me. Stay with me for the journey.
Okay.
I want to paint the picture. It's the 90s. Probably I'm about 7 years old.
All right.
My dad takes me out to the Murray River. My dear dad, John, Big Davo.
Oh, Big Davo, and you're Little D.
Yeah,
Little Davo,
well, you know. Kind of. But yeah, so he took me out to the Murray River, and one thing that my dad and I loved doing together was fishing.
Yeah, so cool.
So we'd always go out there, we'd do a bit of fishing, bit of crabbing, all that sort of jazz, and one day when we were out there, we caught a yabby.
Big yabbies in the Murray as well. Not big. Like yabbies that you see, like if you know you use them for fishing here, maybe in like the heads of Barwons and stuff like that. Like these like river yabbies, mm-hmm. They're big suckers.
Yeah, absolutely. And my dad said, hey, you like that yabby? Let's take it home. He can be your pet.
So, because you grew up in Adelaide. So what part of the Murray, like are we in the South Australian part of the Murray?
Up at a place called Morgan, Scotts
yeah,
Creek.
Yeah,
if you know
okay,
the way.
Yeah.
It's about an hour and a half from Adelaide City.
Right.
So yeah, he's obviously said you can take this yabby home, which is obviously so exciting.
Yeah, new
and
pet.
A cheap pet. And I'm probably you're not allowed to do this anymore. 90s gear, like
yeah,
I said.
Yeah, it's fine.
So we take this yabby home. We name him Bluey.
Oh, yeah, because I guess the blue crest on the back of its head, right?
The original Bluey, yeah. Not the dog, you know what I mean?
Just for copywriting reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. So his name's Bluey. We love this yabby. We're talking to him every day. It's a real special yabby because obviously he went out with me dad, spent some time with him, rare occasion, and he was, you know, it was bonding for us.
When you brought the yabby home, did you put it in like a fish tank situation or just a bowl?
Yeah,
or?
He was, oh, of course, a fish tank. Okay. We gave him a good setup. We gave him a good life.
I'm thinking a bucket, like a white Bunnings bucket is where this yabby lived. But no, you've given him a good life. Good old Bluey.
Well, we gave him a good life up until a certain point.
Oh.
Because.
Are you right?
I came home one day and my dad.
Davo.
Had cooked.
Big Davo!
Bluey.
Big Davo! No! You
know. He boiled him. He boiled Bluey.
That's like this is an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah. I do have a picture of this situation. It is very 90s coded. If you want to see the picture, head over to our Instagram, KRock Geelong. It is on our story. Here you go. This is the situation.
Oh, my. He's dangling it above a pot of boiling water.
And my dad's rig out as
I
well.
I can see where you get your mustache from.
You dirty dog.
That's, why would he do that? You're 7, right?
Yeah.
That's triggering. That's traumatizing.
I don't know. That's probably fine. You know?
He was like, I had a lovely weekend away with my daughter. You know what I should do? Completely scar her for life. I think we had too good of a time.
Well, that's the thing. You know, outside of this, it was, you know, him in the shed listening to Elvis chain smoking. So, you know, like, this was a really nice story until he cooked our pet and ate it.
Did he eat it in front of you?
No. It wasn't like a torture situation.
Sit down. You're not leaving till I'm done.
It was almost like I'd sprung that this had happened sort of thing. So it wasn't a great thing.
But what's his plan? Like, oh, where's, you know, where's Bluey? Oh, and then run away.
Could have said he could have said he.
But he's like, oh, here's a photo. I went down to Kmart and I got it developed. It's taken a month, but here's what's happened to Bluey. I've wanted you to know this for a long time, but photo development, it's 1994. What do you need from me? This is all I'm trying to do. You don't eat what? You don't eat your kids' pets.
No, but people do. You would be surprised because there are people out there that have eaten their pets.
No, there's not. I've never. Like, we've had chickens, we've had ducks, we've had dogs, we've had fish, we've had a turtle. Well, the turtle ran away, walked away. I found it on the side of the road. We never ate any of them in our household, Davo.
Brother, we are so close to farmland here. There are people eating their pets left, right, and centre.
I grew up on the farm. We were milk. Oh, no. Pa's farm.
Yep.
Pa's farm.
Yeah, Pa's farm.
We were exclusively killing and eating our pets.
Yeah, that's right. It happens. And when they've got a name, it has a different level of what's going on there. So, look. I want to open the phones to this. Well, there was a chicky babe that works here and they said that they ate the goose named Gail.
You don't be eating the goose named Gail. Sean from Clifton Springs has given us a call. Sean, have you eaten your pet?
How are you? Well, I didn't eat it, but my daughter, and I feel for Davo on this account, my daughter had a pet yabby and we named him Eddie. Edward Scissorhands, because he would clip the fins of any of the fish in the fish tank.
Good gear.
Yeah. So it was Eddie, but she had him for 14 years.
Oh, my God. So Bluey could have lived a fulfilling life. My dad cut it short.
Yeah, he was only like 2 centimetres long when we got him.
Mate.
And he was about 9 inches long when he died of old age.
Oh, so but after he died of old age, it wasn't chucked in the boiling pot?
No.
So you've called up to just tell Dave how it could have been, Sian.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Pretty much, yeah.
No, but also, yeah. I can't believe someone else had a pet yabby. I feel like, we are two of the same, Sian.
There you go, Sian. except you seem to care for your child, which is the difference there. All right, Matt in Bell Post Hill has given us a call. Matt, did you eat your pet?
Yeah, I was tricked into eating my pet.
Oh, no. All right, tell us.
Yeah, we had chicken for dinner apparently one night, and we're eating it and we all finished it and it was a pretty good bloody meal, and then my dad goes, "You won't see Roger anymore."
No.
I'm like, "That, what do you mean, Dad?" And Dad goes, he got ill and I've cut his head off and I've plucked his feathers and he's been boiled and that's what you've just eaten. And I'm like, "Yeah, there goes Roger." Oh. And it was a definite story. Roger was gone the next day. He was not in the chicken pen.
Roger's
and we lived
better.
In Torquay at the time, so we had a little chicken coop there, and it was Roger and 4 other chickens, and he chose Roger.
But, there's certain chickens that aren't for eating. Mm. Like a lot of the chickens that people have as hobby chooks, they're just for laying, not eating. So he's boiled a laying chook and fed it to you without telling you, Matt.
Well, he was a rooster. He wasn't even a chook. Mm. He was a rooster.
Mm. So... Also, my issue, there's so many issues, obviously, with
heaps.
This, but my issue with this is that Roger deserved better than being boiled. No chicken should be boiled. They should be fried.
The Colonel would have wanted it fried. Tim and Davo. We're Tim and Davo here on K-Rock with Ed Curno. Thanks to Metrol Geelong. He swings by every single Wednesday, and we do appreciate you, Ed Curno.
We're not best friends, but...
No, because apparently... Whatever.
We're working towards it.
Yeah, we're getting there. But, Ed, probably the biggest thing that came out of the round that just gone past was the whiteboard gate. A lot of people are calling it. It was a photo of the Brisbane Lions, a giant whiteboard at the Brisbane Lions training office. It had a list of every Essendon player and then a list of strengths and a list of weaknesses. So some players would be like, strength is like versatility or like speed. And then some of the weaknesses would be like, confidence. This is it. Is
brutal.
Brutal, right? But I think a lot of former players and that are in the media are saying, look, this is a non-issue. Every club does this. It's just the first time that maybe it's been in the media that the photos come out of some of these things.
Yeah, I think they have it written down and on a whiteboard and in the poor writing, which was acknowledged from Scott. I can't still remember which Scott he is, but anyway. I thought it was a little bit surprising that it's still done in that format. When I first started 2010, it was done that way a little bit. And then, as everyone got a little bit more professional and the language... was more professional, you kind of have those one-on-one conversations with your line coach about your role and who you might be up against, and you might do a deep dive on the opposition and a few opponents you'll come up against.
Because I think it's a professional sport, right? So, and some people are saying it's unfair, and like some people should be apologising to certain players for saying they lack confidence or putting up certain things on the board. But knowing about the opposition, like is this would be happening in some way at every single club, right?
Just preparation. You need to know and you have to be harsh, and it kind of, I used to review players and I would know if I was physical with them, they'd go to water and then, or they get agitated and give away free kicks, or if you were silent and quiet and stayed away from them, they wouldn't be motivated to play well. You try and get as much information as you can about someone to go out and beat them. But you see it in a public forum was confronting, but I think it was quite juicy for everyone else.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was my favourite thing from the round just gone.
It's like finding a whiteboard in a school of all your classmates or something.
Well,
like
Tom from The Breakfast Show, he decided that he wanted to do that for our whole team.
Yeah.
And we said, absolutely not, Tom. But I thought the three of us, we're a new team, guys. And it's always good to get a bit of a pulse check, figure out each other's strengths and weaknesses. And so I thought we could go through each other's today.
I think this is a great and terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, Davo, you've asked both myself and Ed, and you've done this as well, to bring a strength and weakness for the other two people. So
yes.
I've done one for you and Ed. You've done one for me and Ed. Ed's done one for you and I.
Just one? I've got a long list.
Now you've got to pick your favourite one. You've got to pick your favourite one, Ed.
Oh,
But if you've got time,
oh, look, if you've got plenty of strength for me, I'll absolutely take it.
So, Davo, you'll go first. I'll go, and then Ed can. If Ed needs the time at the end, we'll give him all the time he needs.
Well, look, let's start with Ed here, I reckon.
All right.
So, strengths for Ed, I'm going to say those voluminous curls you've got on that head, brother.
A perm that he gets locked in once every 6 weeks, I reckon.
Stunning.
It doesn't help for radio, but thanks.
No, well done. And
you're relating this to our radio performance.
Well, yes, we can see.
Interrupting is going to be on one of your weaknesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, your weakness, Ed, I would say, is just being absolutely hideous at greetings.
Yes.
I'll bite my tongue.
All right. All right. What have you got for me?
Timmy, your strength, of course, it has to be that thick thighs you've got.
I had a feeling.
Absolute hams on you. They are sorting you out as a 20-meter athlete for sure. And your weaknesses have to be swearing on air.
Yep, I've done a couple in the last 8 months, and unfortunately we can't replay them.
No, the K-pop demon hunters, if you remember.
Slow down. All right.
Well done, Davo. We're meant to now acknowledge the feedback and say thanks for the feedback.
Thanks, Davo.
Now, I'm going to be really good at receiving this, no doubt.
All right. I'll go, Davo. For you, strengths, up for it. You're always keen, ready to rip in. If we've got something we need to do, you're like, yep, let's bloody go for it. Weakness, you can't / won't say sorry. To me.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's the one time you've genuinely had to say sorry to me, you did like a, well, sorry.
Yeah. Came from the heart, though.
Ed Curno, strength. Having a crack. I reckon you come here every single Wednesday, you're having a crack at this radio stuff.
You're and doing I think all right.
having a crack at life as well. You're one of the most business savvy people I know. Weakness, your body. You've let go. Since you stopped playing, you have absolutely let it go. You're a slot monster. It's not good. You've only got an 8-pack. It's disgusting.
We were all thinking it.
Well, thanks for the feedback, Tim.
Thank you. And Davo?
Of course, thank you so much. That's I really appreciate it.
My feedback is clusters then, so I'll go real quick because it's a few. Davo, okay. I'll go you first. Your clothes, smile, laugh, awkward greeter. I'm putting you in the same bucket as me. Good at walking, which is also a weakness. And your energy, make everyone feel good. And you know the name of music artists, so that's a great job.
As a radio announcer, it's a good skill to have.
Thank
weaknesses,
you so much.
You're a Cats fan, you're from South Australia, and you bought a treadmill to work.
Fair.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
All right, last
Tim,
one.
For you, strengths, beard, composure. Bring the best out of all of us, Tim. Dedication to Essendon, which is a genuine strength in this environment at the moment. Your articulation, which I'm genuinely jealous of, and your hand gestures. Weakness, dull wardrobe, boring driver.
Yep, there we go. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
That was really special. And I think this is going to be good moving forward. The strengths and weaknesses.
It was good for us,
I
reckon.
It's a good team review. Ed Curno's still sticking around. Davo, you've been on a walking pad for the whole show. You've been trotting. You've been trotting the last couple of days.
Go, Davo.
Thank you so much, guys. Of course, the Surf Coast Trek is this Saturday. I'll be walking from Anglesey to Torquay, about 23 kilometres along the Great Ocean Road. I cannot wait.
All Forgive Where You Live. It's incredible. One of the most beautiful walks, and you can raise money. There is a link on our socials at K-Rock Geelong. Yep. Davo, we've told Ed this weeks ago that you'd be doing the Surf Coast Trek, and Ed was, as the legend that he is, has been trying to offer some help. As someone who lives along where the Surf Coast Trek's going to be, who better to pass on advice on some treks to do in the lead up for your training?
Yeah, that's right. And you did give us some great options. You showed me a map, you sent a little picture of it, you highlight a little route in there as well. You then, I reckon you spent an hour writing instructions of every step. It involved jumping several fences, I believe, into a part that had a sign. Tell us what the sign says.
It said tiger snake breeding ground. Not just tiger warning. Tiger snakes in the area.
Not this time of the year, Davo. But
oh, okay. So do they take the sign down when it's not breeding season?
It's one of the more, I think it gives you a bit of, when you see it, Davo, it gives you a bit of energy and a bit of pop in your step. Mm-hmm. I reckon it kind of keeps you on your toes, and it's just nice to know that you're not out there on your own.
Break the land speed record for walking. I mean,
tiger snakes would keep you on your toes.
It has a bit of locals only energy. That's what I'm getting. It seems like if this was a surf break, you're like, yeah, locals only. What you got to do is you got to jump the fence. When you see 400 tiger snakes mating, you know you're in the right spot.
The Ironbark Basin, it's beautiful, Dave. You will love it. And I'm sure if you haven't done it before, when you do it and you see that sign, you'll be like, ah, I get it. It's fine. There's no snakes. I'll just keep walking.
No, go on, please.
As a former professional athlete and someone who's relatively in tidy shape, You'd be moving a lot. You'd be doing steps. You'd be doing kilometres. What's some advice? Davo's just got a brand new pair of shoes.
Yeah, you're quite horrified.
Walking in today. Like, yeah. give us your Davo. So Davo's done not much prep. She's got 23 k's to walk on some ruggedish terrain. Like, what have you got for Davo? And for anyone that's listening right now that might be in this situation as well.
Well, the thing was, is I did say to Ed, look, I've got these new shoes. Obviously, the walk is on Saturday. And they're Ed
white.
Absolutely.
They're white new shoes. That's your first mistake. And buying them week of the event. Oh, yeah. Clanger.
So tell me about, you said you've got some tips for me to sort of sort me out.
Already, that's in your head, isn't it? The shoes. It's in your head. Oh. Like, you've got a tough walk coming up and you're thinking, should have I bought these shoes? Mm. Are they too white? Am I going to perform poorly because I haven't broken them in yet? I've only bought them 5 days out.
Mm-hmm.
They're all poor decisions, Dave.
Well, we can't undo any of that, Ed.
Let's
move forward with the advice. What have you got? Is someone that obviously like footy boots, you've got to wear them in.
So now you put yourself in this situation, self-inflicted. White shoes, new shoes, a few days out from the walk. What you've got to do is you've got to shower in them every night.
Shower in them?
Shower in them every night. So just take your clothes off and go to the shower and do what you do, but keep your shoes on. And that's sure.
Is this real?
Yeah. I used to do it all the time. So if I had to break in my boots a bit later in the week, I'd just go for a shower after training in my boots. And it kind of, your foot then, you know, your boot becomes a bit softer, you know, it kind of molds to it.
No, yeah. I believe in me in saying that this is something he's done.
It will help that. I'm telling you.
We don't doubt you.
The moisture, more moisture in that shoe will make it, you know, and bend to your foot. And there you go.
Does it have time to dry out before Saturday?
Doesn't matter. 12 degrees tomorrow. It's too late. Just keep them on constantly.
Constantly. Yeah. Right. Wet sopping shoes.
And don't then, take them off.
And then you need a big tab of Vaseline and you've got to rub that around.
All right, man. Well,
I'm talking about your foot, Dave. Like, you've got to rub that on your whole foot, then put your sock on, rub it on the whole of your sock, then put your shoe and rub it all around the inside of your shoe.
Vaseline three before layers. The walk.
All right. Three well, layers. When Davo's...
No, just day to day. You don't want to get a blister now. Sorry, Tim.
You're going to slip down the first step you do and break a leg because you've Vaselined up from the calf.
Hey, and that's a great. That's better than a blister, Tim.
All right. Well.
Well, you would know, Tim.
Yes, I did the full one a few years ago, and I've just been re-showing the blisters, and it did change my life. Allegedly, I lost 2 toenails. But Ed Curno, we appreciate that advice. I don't know if Davo's going to do it, but at least it's been out there. Ooh. Hey,
do it, Davo.
All right, we'll have a think about it.
All right.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
So this morning I had a bit of a cute one. I went to GMHBA Stadium, and it was their women's in sport breakfast.
Yeah, I was a late out, which was really flattening, but it looked really cool. Like, I know Abby Holmes was there, Nat Edwards was running it as well, and Sarah Jones.
Yes, absolutely. And it was really cool. They were such inspiring women, talking about their hustle and how they got into a male-dominated field.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool, and I honestly had a great time. So yeah. Well done to everyone involved in that. But of course, as per any wannabe influencer like myself.
Oh, right.
I posted about the event.
Okay. You posted about the event. This is good.
So up on my story, it was a picture of my place card that had Lauren Davidson on there.
Well, for people that don't know, Lauren is your name. As much as we love you as Davo, like, you're unfortunately not on the birth certificate.
Absolutely. And they didn't do the Lauren Davo Davidson. It was just, you know, straighty 180. And on there, it also had a place card that said Women's in Sport Breakfast. And as the caption, I've put soft launching my AFLW career, right?
Yep.
Bit of fun. Obviously, I'm not an AFLW player. I'm not even close to that sort of situation.
Sure.
I got more than one message saying, oh, my God, really?
Wow. You're signing for the Cats, Davo.
Can you believe it? The fact that anyone even gave that the light of day. I'm happy with however many followers I've got. Two of them.
To absolute
slightly
fools,
thought
to absolute silly sausages.
I haven't ran in 10 years.
Yeah, but, you know, get you in the ruck, get you full forward, you know, as long as you can, you know, just tap the ball out of there, or if you can clunk a mark, you know, kick some snags. Yeah. I've never seen you kick a footy. Oh, boy. Oh, Davo, if we can't get you, AFLW for the Cats preseason starts next week.
Yep.
I don't know if there's a train on spot, but Dave, we could totally get you on the list for the Cats and see you in hoops at GMHBA Stadium, season 2026 of the AFLW.
I just think that is ridiculous. My vertical jump measurements would be an absolute nightmare. You've seen me try, hurt both my knees before I even attempted the jump. I honestly, the confidence that gave within me that there was two people out there that had that belief within me that that was something I could possibly do. And, mate, I feel like I could do anything after Abby Holmes said.
Yeah, I mean, Abby Holmes is very inspirational.
100 goals a season. It's going to be me, baby.
I mean, you, like AFLW, like we are seeing a generation now come through where a lot of these girls that are coming in have played since they were like 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. When the first couple of years, it was definitely a lot of people that used to play netball or other sports or people that picked up footy later in life. I still think there is space for someone to pick up footy later in life. AFLW players are playing well into their late 30s and early 40s, Davo.
Do they have a Div 18 resis?
Mate, if you run a local footy club and you would like Davo to come out, give it a go. I might be playing a Masters game in a few weeks, Davo. Wouldn't it be great if you and I both got out there in the local footy community?
Yeah.
I'm playing Masters as an underage player and you're playing women's footy.
Div 18.
No, Div 1, mate. All right. Div 1, we'll get you in there. Well, give us a call if you want Davo to have a go.
Someone will have to explain the rules and we're golden.
Yeah. It's Tim and Davo.
We need to sort ourselves out, mate.
Okay. Why?
Now, if you're listening, you might have someone in your life where, you know, you just work each other up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just really take things to the next level. Like, around other people, you're placid, you're chill,
normal.
Reserved. Normal is probably a good word as well. But it's just around that one person. It's like you just, something works the other person up and you're immediately, you're on a whole other level. Everyone around you is still on that other level you used to be on.
Yep.
But you just, there's two people that have absolutely ramped each other up. And Davo, you and I have really, lately, really found that next level, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you've unlocked something within me that's, it's usually something I keep for, like, my private time or around some people that are really close with me, you know?
It's the relationship that I think we have is very sibling, borderline cousin-like.
Yes, cousin feels right.
Yeah.
You don't feel like a brother to me. You feel like a cousin.
I don't respect you enough to be your brother.
No, absolutely.
But a cousin, it's like, yeah, I like Dave O'Shea or at Christmas, you know, we have a bit of fun, we work up. And then it's kind of like, you and my energy, it's like the first Christmas you're kind of 18, your grandparents are fine seeing you have a beer.
Yeah.
And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, things have just gone to the next level. And do you know what made me realize this?
Yeah, I think I know exactly what made you realize this because it made me realize this as well. Please continue.
So I bumped into you this weekend. Bumped into you.
Yeah.
When I messaged you to say, hey, do you want to come and hang out?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to put it. Bumped into you in the wild at a kid's playground.
But my son and I were at a playground and I saw you were in Ocean Grove and I was like, oh, hey, on your way back, if you want to swing by, I know you like hanging out with my son and we get along as well. I was
Sometimes.
Like, hey, do you want to come and hang out? You're like, yeah. And then, so we were like hanging around. He's going up and down the playground doing all stuff that like an almost 3-year-old would.
Yeah.
And you and I were both looking at each other like, we can't because there's a child around that will see what we're doing. We can't be like, smacking each other's hands and kicking each other's feet.
Shoving each other around, you know.
And there was a moment, and I'm glad you saw it too.
Yeah.
Because I looked at you and nothing was said. There wasn't a raise of the eyebrow, but it was like, well, we are the examples here for a young human. And maybe if it's not good enough for around my son, it shouldn't be good enough around people that work here with
us. It was interesting that when we come into work, it's riffraff. It's nothing but riff and raff. It's absolute ministry right here in the studio, in the building. And then we got into a playground, which really, in hindsight, you'd think that's the place.
It really should have
ramped
up.
That's where you ramp up. But because there was your child there, we had to behave ourselves. Yep. And as you said, not throw bark at each other. Like, it's just,
I didn't even get to call you a witch as the top of my lungs when you were doing something. But it unlocked a version of you, like this pleasant, caring Lauren that was like looking out for my son and wanting to be involved. And I was like, we don't know who we actually are. Are we this high energy riffraff problem?
Yeah.
Or are we these normal people that's we've closeted almost.
Yeah, I mean, they have been closeted around the workplace.
The padlock's on.
But I will say, around the office, just for our gorgeous, gorgeous listeners, we have been given the nicknames Riff and Raff, yeah. And it does vary who's the worst on the day.
It's good for the radio show, but I think it's bad for our career progression. But
and friendships.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I had a bit of an awkward moment the other day when I went to the hairdressers.
All right.
And I mean, obviously, you're at the hairdresser. It feels quite intimate, really, that someone's so close to you, touching you, and like sorting your hair out.
And
you
like,
know?
For people that might not know, like what you look like, you got blonde hair. So, like, you're there for a minute.
You are. So, you're bonding, you're getting to know each other, you know?
Yeah, I've loosely got 5 hours here. We might as well talk, you know?
Absolutely. And look, the awkward moment, like, the service was incredible. Everyone was lovely. I really had a great time. And then it got to the hair washing part of the afternoon.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how starved I am of touch. But when that hairdresser had her hands on my head massaging my scalp, oh my goodness. It was crazy, Tim. I had to close my eyes because I didn't want to make eye contact
into the back of your head.
And I didn't want them rolling into the back of my head, as you just said.
Hey, man. It's nice to have a bit of human contact, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. But have you had your head massaged at a hairdresser's?
Not for a really long time. Now, I've grown my hair out in the last 2 or 3 years, and I thought, you know, maybe... it's the length. Maybe because I was getting to these sick fades. Mm. I'm like, they don't need to wash it because there's only 2 mil of hair. What's the point? When I grew my hair out, I thought, we're on here, fellas. I'm finally going to get this head massage.
Yeah.
It's not as common as you think because I wash my hair before I go to the barber. And it's so they don't have a sink at their current place. And I've just changed barber, so this is all new. But there was a period in my life where I was getting my hair washed and they were giving a head massage. Mm-hmm. I was glad I went there by myself because if my wife was there...
I felt like I needed to give her a 50 on the side. Like, I could not believe what I was dealing with there.
Literally, a scalp massage is just... I know, like, have you ever seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine? That character Boyle's like, the most intimate thing you can do with another person is wash their hair. And everyone's like, haha, what a weird thing to say. He's on it. Well, he knows.
I think the head massage, I mean, it's a shame that they're not doing it at your hairdressers because no doubt the hairdresser would be like a barber, like a bloke.
Yeah, his name's Tim.
Yeah. Strong hands for a head massage
from
a bloke.
He's got big hands.
And like, I just, this service that hairdressers provide, obviously never stop, but I can never keep those eyes open because it is uncomfortable, dude.
You just don't know, like...
You don't know what someone's going through.
But, like, could you... Is there a chance that it's not the massage, it's the masseur, and you're in love with
no,
it? You're falling in love with this person?
No, I promise I'm not in love with the hairdresser. Okay, she's a lovely lady. Respect her, but absolutely not.
Fingers for days.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.